And you may be seated as we move into this time of prayer. Lord God, you are lovely. You are worthy. You are wonderful. And we have gathered here today to worship you. We have gathered here today to celebrate your presence in our lives, to praise you. You are our God. You are our Redeemer. You are our strong tower. And you care for us. And under your care, none of us should be lost. None of us should be orphaned, left fatherless, for you are our Father. Our Father in heaven, God, and our Father who reigns on earth through your Son, Jesus Christ. And today we lift our voices to you. But God, we lift our hearts to you. And we lay before you all that weighs upon our hearts. We lay before you all that stirs our souls. We give all to you, God, that you might renew it and you might renew us. And for that wonderful work, Lord, that you do in our lives and you do in this world and you do through us, we are thankful. 10,000 reasons and more to be thankful because of you, O Lord. And in this season of thanksgiving, we look to you, the source of all that is good and true and holy in our lives, the source of our very life. And this morning, as we join together, Lord, it's our privilege to lift up our brothers and sisters at New Life Apostolic Church. We know that they hear you today and that you hear their praise and their worship, their pleas and their supplications. That you hear us all. And as we come to you in prayer and we say those words your Son taught us, you hear us as we say to you, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, who's looking forward to eating some really good food sometime this week? Yeah? Okay, I've had to already tell myself you've got to really watch out because I put on several pounds this fall that I didn't anticipate, and it's gotten so drastic in my house that I literally put a bathroom scale in front of my refrigerator and you have to stand on it to open the door. I kid you not. The Central Methodist students that I have this evening staying at my house, they're going to see it for themselves too. So I don't know if you've known that our high school is doing the production of Mary Poppins. They have done a magnificent job out there. And I was out there on Friday night. Yeah, it was just phenomenal. And there's a time when Mary has her two children that she is watching and they're in the park. They're like, this is boring and there's just nothing to do. And all of a sudden she makes this line that she says, when will you learn to look past what you see? When will you learn to look past what you see? And a whole world opens up to them. And in the animated movie, this is when they dance with the penguins. And this is when color comes into the park. And they portray that on the stage very well out at Smith Cotton. But it really captured my heart because of the message that we're going to share this morning. And so I ask us the question, when will we learn to look past what only we can see. Let's pray together. God, thank you for these moments of celebration, of praise and prayer, of turning our hearts toward home and looking for your direction. In these moments, God, I pray that you'll get me out of the way and let your Spirit speak to each and every one of us. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, the passage of scripture we're going to be looking at this morning is from 2 Kings chapter 7. And I want to give you a little context of what's going on. The children of Israel are in a place where their city has been surrounded by an enemy. The enemy are the Aramaeans. And they're in Samaria, and they're utterly destitute. They need food. They need water. They are so desperate that they have gone to eating things that no human being would ever consider eating. Namely, a donkey head goes for $50 in the marketplace. No self-respecting Israelite would ever eat a donkey head. And if that's not bad enough, for $30, you can buy dove dung for your meal. Now, it took me a long time to get those two words out correctly as I was practicing this week and thinking about that dove dung, $30. And so they're just looking around for something that will feed their hungry bodies before they literally waste away. The prophet Elisha comes to the king and he makes this statement in the beginning of 2 Kings chapter 7. And this is what it says. Elisha was the prophet who followed after Elijah. And if you remember, he says, I want twice the spirit that he has. And God gives him a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And Elisha says, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah, a flower, and a seah is around a pound, a couple of pounds, will sell for just 5 cents. And two seahs of barley, like 4 pounds of barley, for 5 cents, a shekel, at the gate of Samaria. They're paying $50 for donkey and $30 for dove stuff. And this is going to go for next to nothing. The officer whose arm the king was leaning says to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this really happen? You will see it with your own eyes, the prophet says, but you will not eat any of it. Now, if this were being played out on a big screen and it was an old Western, this is the time that the screen goes black and the word meanwhile shows up. Meanwhile, now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we'll die. And if we stay here, we'll die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then, what are the last two words? We die. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they got to the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and they fled into the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. And they left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Remember when the children are upstairs on Christmas morning and you hear the sound of thundering hoofsteps as they make their way down the stairs to enjoy that morning? That's what the Arameans heard whenever the 4 lepers were walking their way. God increased the sound of it to scare them off. And it's just incredible. Meanwhile, the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, we're not really doing right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will surely overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers, and they told them, "We went into the Aramaean camp. Not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents just left as they were." And the gatekeepers shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. Have you ever noticed how good news spreads quickly? And sometimes bad news spreads even more quickly. He's shouting the news. He's telling everyone, there's food out there. When it reaches the ears of the king has to deliberate. He's got to think about this. Food out there, we're in here starving. But we know those sneaky Aramaeans, they're probably just gone into the hills. They're hiding. They're waiting for us to come, take over their camp, and then they'll consume us. But that wasn't the case at all. When he sent out his own spies to see if it was in fact true that the people had vacated the camp, indeed they had. And so now all they had to do was simply go from where they were to a new place to get all that they had longed for and all that they needed. Meanwhile, the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of that very gate, and the people trampled him in the gateway. And he died, just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. It happened as the man of God had said to the king, "About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will be sold for a shekel and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer had said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this really happen?" And the man of God replied, "You'll see it with your own eyes, but you'll not eat any of it." And that's exactly what happened to him, where the people trampled him in the gate, and, last two words, he died. Have you ever noticed how much of our life is driven by what we can see? I mean, if we can't taste it, touch it, smell it, then it's not really real. But you ever think about how much that's in direct opposition to the Christian message? Because it's about believing until you see it. And so I want to suggest that there are really two kinds of ways of approaching life or belief, or just two kinds of people. And they're the kinds of people who say, "If I see it, then I will believe it." Now, these are really good folks because they come right from the hills of Branson and they've got Missouri deep down in their soul. Show me. Just let me see it with my own eyes, touch it, taste it, feel it. Then we'll know that it's real. But it flies against faith and trust and belief. And how many of us have experienced life beyond just what you can see and have come to the realization that sometimes it takes belief first and then you will see it? In fact, I think that other kind of people is, "I will believe it until I see it." Let's say it together. I will believe it until I see it. And that's kind of the mode I'm in right now when I get on the bathroom scale. I'm going to believe that I'm going to get to my special weight, and I'm going to keep working at it. And the best way I can do that is keep my mouth shut. And that would probably apply to a lot of other areas of my life as well. We believe, then we see. As we've heard the report already this morning of Strong Tower Orphanage, there were some people that began some years ago with the belief that God had an interest in us being involved directly with Caracol, Haiti, Church of the Redeemer. And in God's heart and in God's mind, he partnered us with, of all things, a Baptist church from the state of Maine. Can you imagine that? Only God can come up with something that wild and beautiful. But if we let it die as just a whim, or I ate some bad pizza and it's indigestion, that would have never occurred. But continuing to believe, continuing to trust, continuing to bring others together to pray and act, it has now become reality. And there's 18 little girls in Strong Tower Orphanage, and soon to be joined by a number of boys. And it's reaching the very thing that God wanted, that because he has such a heart for those who are orphaned, who feel as if that they have no place of belonging or no place where anyone would truly care for them and love them. They believed it, and now we see it. A couple of years ago, We had some folks who said, wouldn't it be amazing to have an evening for special needs young adults? And out of that, there was a partnership with Tim Tebow. And a night to shine truly was a shining night for this church and this community, but especially for the kids who came and enjoyed a night with people of God, loving them and caring for them. Someone believed it, and now we see it. Years ago in this community, there were churches who were all trying to do their part to support people in need, and then they came together and said, we can do together better what we've tried to do separately, and they formed Open Door Ministry. And today, literally hundreds of families are supported by the ministry and work of Open Door. Somebody believed it, and now we see it. Closer to home, there are folks who have not given up on their marriage, and they're believing that there's love yet to be found, and they made an investment and commitment in one another, and they're believing their way into seeing happiness fulfilled. And there are children who have parents who look at them and realize, I don't always get it right. Sometimes I mess up pretty bad. But their parent continues to believe for something better and more. And they look into the deep heart of what God has already placed in that child. And because you're believing, someday you're going to see that child shaped in the influence of God's love and character. Don't give up. And I would call this Godfidence. That takes a lot to stand before hundreds of people on any given weekend and make up a word. But that word is Godfidence. That's a typical trait of Downings, if you haven't figured that out by now. And the way that I perceive this word is, I'm not trusting in my own ability or my full understanding. I'm going to trust in something bigger than myself. I'm going to trust in God and find Godfidence to believe until I see. In Isaiah, it says, there's no weapon formed against you that will prevail. And sometimes the weapons that come against us are fear, regret, worry, shame, guilt. We play it safe because we're afraid to trust God for what we've not experienced yet. What happened to this man was he just simply played it safe. He could not see the provision that God had already made for the Israelites. And he stands at the gate and gets trampled by the very people who now are seeing what they've only believed could be possible. It's a terrible, tragic ending to the story. Which just leads me to say that I think we need to be reminded, don't say no when God says go. Say it with me. Don't say no when God says go. Like no is just cross my hands and say, no. I'm not going to make that prayer. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to love. I'm not going to care. We close ourselves off to the future. We close ourselves off to God. See, there's going to be a blessing. Because where God is, there's always blessing. The question is, will you and I be a part of it? Or will we miss it altogether? That's the question you and I have to answer. I want to tell you a story about a fourth grade boy. This fourth grade boy was in a class at school several years ago, and he had had a disappointment early in the day. Later in the afternoon, his best friend was to have a birthday party, and this was back when you could just go all out in having a birthday at school, and so there were cupcakes, and there was punch, and there were cookies, and there was all kinds of stuff to play and to do. But this boy, because he was pouting over what had happened earlier in the day, just simply put his head down on the desk through the entirety of the party. He pouted and missed the party. And you know why I know that? Because I have to stand here and admit to you that I was that fourth grade boy. The party went on, I missed it. And what came out of that was a determination, I'm not going to miss the party anymore. How about you? So I want to show you a picture and ask you, what do you see? What do you see? Field, trees. Let me tell you, this is what this looked like 20 years ago when you drove by on 32nd Street. There was this row of trees that was just a third back of the entire property that we have. And people are like, why would we build out there? There's not much land. When we tore down this, we realized there was two-thirds of the land was behind this tree row. But you know what God saw? He saw this. He saw us. He saw people giving their hearts to him through the various services that we have shared the gospel. He saw children and youth and adults being baptized in this very place. I stand on the baptistry right here today. He saw the few couples who have been married here stand here and say, I do, to each other. He saw children in Sunday school crying because they had to leave that fun place that they had just experienced. He probably even saw line dancers in the lobby on Tuesday nights, Ruth. And a host of many, many other things that are yet to come that we haven't even dreamed of. He believed it. Now we see it. Let me show you one more picture. This is 4th and Osage. It's just an empty lot with a cross on it right now. About 2 weeks ago, we put the cross up, and I'm so thankful we did because it reminds us that that is holy ground set aside for the work of God. There's a family in our congregation who anonymously gives a gift to the glory of God to make it possible, if we are willing, to make a purchase of a building adjacent to this lot. No charge to this congregation, no expense to us. I see that as a God thing. When I look at that lot, I don't see a flat piece of property. I see the children who someday will sing praise to the glory of God in a new children's choir. I see the people who will be baptized there and make their profession of faith for Jesus there. I see couples who will walk that aisle and say, I do, and mean it, and live in God's love for the rest of their days. And I see outreach to people who may not even have English as a primary language, but our church has a heart for them because God has a heart for all. And I can't even begin to see all the other things that God already sees in his heart, and it's just waiting for us to believe and trust enough so that we will see it come to his reality in time. And all it takes for you and me is to get out of the way and simply say, God, we're going to trust you. Because who would have ever guessed God would have done this here when you just simply looked at that empty lot and that tree line 20 years ago? But thank God he did. And we did. Because we walked forward in faith with him. I simply remind us that we're not called seers. We're called believers. And because we believe in the Almighty One, he can do all things well. Just you watch and see. And join me in believing that we will rise up to be the people of God in both locations. And we will reach out to our community, to Sedalia and Pettis County and beyond, for generations who are yet to come, who have not even been born yet. I'd envision a day that one of my grandsons moves to Sedalia, Missouri, and he raises his grandchildren 4th and Osage, or out here on 32nd Street, or maybe some other place that God has led us to be in the midst of all of that. But you can trust one thing. We can trust one thing. God will be in the midst of it all. And it begins right here in our heart. When you and I say, yes, Lord, I will believe it. I will continue to trust. I will walk with you until we see it come to pass. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, in your word it says, without vision the people perish. And sometimes we just have a new vision of ourselves where we're not having to taste and test everything, but that we can believe and trust because of how faithful you've been in the past and how faithful you will be in the future. And you ask us to be faithful through it all. God, as we walk hand in hand with you, help us not to have anxiety or dread for the future. Help us to find hope. Hope for us as individuals. Hope for marriages. Hope for families. Hope for children. Hope for grandchildren. Hope for our community. Hope for our nation and hope for our world. And it's found in you, Lord. And we thank you that you are here today. And we ask that you would lead us through every part of our lives. Help us to hear your voice and know that the food is right outside waiting for us to receive it. Bless us, Lord, in this season of thanks. Help us to truly be thankful and grateful people. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I realize our service has run just slightly long this morning. Because we're flexible people, I'm going to simply invite you to stand as you're able, and I'm going to offer a blessing over you. And then I'm going to invite you, go and have some great Thanksgiving dinner. Eat a turkey leg for me, okay? All right, let's stand up and receive this blessing. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest mightily upon each of us now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's grace. Have a great Thanksgiving week, everybody. God bless you.